Welcome to Hot Topics on GraceNetRadio.com. Hot Topics is a ministry of gospel on the go from Croatia with the U.S. support team at Lighthouse of Life Church in South Florida. Each week, join Dr. Andrew Vuksic and his guests in Croatia as they discuss the hot topics of the day dealing with theology, culture, and more, all relevant to Christians worldwide. The opinions expressed on the program are those of the hosts and guests and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio. Now from Croatia, your host of Hot Topics, Andrew Vuksic on GraceNetRadio.com.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Hot Topics, where today we're going to begin a series. I'm not sure how long this series will go, but it's going to be a series that's entitled Words Truly Matter. Now, you may in your mind be thinking, well, Andrew, we kind of already know this as Christians. We know that our words matter, that, you know, we're not supposed to curse. We're not supposed to be involved in coarse joking. We're not supposed to gossip. We're not supposed to, with one side of our mouths, you know, bless God, and with the other side of our mouths, curse others. Andrew, we already know that our words truly matter. Well, if that's the case, then I can just say amen and we'll stop right here. Actually, what I'm going to do is this. I'm going to do in this series, I'm going to kind of take us in a different direction. Yes, as Christians, we know we shouldn't curse. We shouldn't gossip. We shouldn't be involved in coarse joking and things like that. We know it, but if truth be told, we all struggle with it, myself included. And so we continue to seek the power of the Holy Spirit to help our words be God glorifying and edifying to others. But in this series, I want to talk about a specific group of words, theological words, or words used in theological circles. This series actually that we're beginning today is really the result of a 3-week series I taught in the church recently. And, you know, it really was something that people were just taking tons of notes. They were coming up to me afterwards and asking tons of questions. And many people commented on how much they really learned about how much words in the theological or biblical realm truly matter. So that's where we're going to be going in this series. And a lot of times you hear the words such as the Bible, grace, mercy, salvation, election. You hear these words tossed around from pulpits. But if you're not discerning, you're not going to be able to really catch what is actually being said, because words truly matter. Yes, even in the realm, or especially in the theological realm. For instance, think of, and we're going to start with two words right now. Think of the Reformation back in the 1500s. The reformers taught that you're saved by grace, here comes the word, alone. Through faith, alone. In Christ, alone. Based upon the authority of Scripture alone, and therefore all to the glory of God alone. These five alones are called the five solas of the Reformation. Again, the reformers went to the Scriptures. Many of the reformers had originally been Catholic priests. And suddenly, they went back to the Scriptures. They went back to the source, to the Scriptures. They went back to the original languages, the Greek and Hebrew. And they started to study the Scriptures, and again, in the original languages, they said, whoa, 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 time out. What we have been taught by Rome, the Catholic Church, and what we, as Catholic priests, are teaching to the people, It's very different than what Scripture teaches. Again, the Reformers taught that the Bible alone is our sole authority. And the Bible clearly says that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, all to the glory of God alone. Why did the Reformers emphasize the solas, the alones? Because words truly matter. For example, Rome had taught and continues to teach today that the Bible is the Word of God, but they don't teach that the Bible alone is our authority, but rather they teach the Bible, here comes the difference, the word, and human religious tradition. Do you see it? The Reformers, the Bible alone, sola scriptura, is our authority. Rome, the Bible, and Catholic religious traditions are our authority. Do you see the difference? And do you see why words truly matter? Two words, alone and. Huge, huge difference, right? Let's keep going. Reformers taught, you're saved by grace alone. Rome taught and still teaches, you're saved by grace and merit. The Reformers taught that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. Rome taught and still teaches, you're saved by grace and merit, and by faith and works. Do you see the difference? The Reformers taught that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Rome taught and still teaches that you're saved by grace and merit, faith and works, Christ and the sacramental system provided by the Roman Catholic Church. Big difference. And again, the result, because the Bible alone is our sole authority, and because the Bible clearly teaches that you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, therefore, who gets all the glory alone and only? God does. Roman Catholic Church, the Bible and human tradition, grace and merit, faith and your works, Christ and the sacramental system, where you cooperate and try through your efforts to make yourself just in God's sight. Therefore, question is, who gets the glory? God and the Catholic Church and the people? Do you see the difference? Words truly matter. Massive difference between alone and, right? And so in this series, I'm going to be taking us through different areas of theology, and we will see the differences that are tossed out there in terms of the words that are used. And today, I just want to go over just those, the alone and the and, so you understand that. And then over the next several teachings, I'll bring in other instances, not just showing the difference between the Protestants and the Catholics, but I'll even show you differences in words that are used just in Protestant churches, because words truly matter. Now, what we want to do is, I don't want to just explain to you differences in the words. I also want to show you in Scripture. So, if you have your Bibles, which you should always, please open them now to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Actually, you know what? Let's do this. Let's go to Acts chapter 15. Let me take you there first. Let me show you the first church council, the Jerusalem council. Acts chapter 15. Little context here. The gospel The first church was planted day of Pentecost there in Jerusalem. The gospel had gone to the Jews. Well, eventually, the gospel started to make its way outside of not only Jerusalem, but also outside of Israel. The gospel started going to the Gentiles. And the main apostle to the Gentiles was the apostle Paul. Well, on his first missionary journey, he went to the area there in Galatia. He preached the gospel. What was his gospel? That you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, and Christ alone. By God's grace, pagan Gentiles were saved. Churches were planted. Paul returns from his first missionary journey, and suddenly he gets word that there were some Jews down in Jerusalem who were going ballistic, saying, there's absolutely no way that Gentiles can be saved unless they believe in Jesus and they need to get circumcised, they need to follow the traditions of Moses, and they need to convert and become Jews. Do you see it? These Jews who were saying this were false believers. They were called the Judaizers. They said Christ was good, but not enough. They preached Christ plus. Do you see it? Well, this caused a big uproar. And therefore, a council was convened down in Jerusalem to settle this issue. How are Jews and Gentiles truly saved? And as we pick up the story here in Acts chapter 15, we read in verse 1, some men came down from Judea, these were the Judaizers, and they began teaching the brethren, here it is, unless you are circumcised according to the custom of Moses, you cannot be saved. They taught grace and faith and Christ and, do you see it? Well, verse 2, Paul and Barnabas, they had great dissension and debate with these guys, and the result, it was determined that Paul and Barnabas and some others should go down to Jerusalem to the apostles there in Jerusalem and the elders to deal with this issue. Therefore, they went on their way from the church they were at in Antioch, Syrian Antioch, Paul's home base. And as they were passing through both Phoenicia and Samaria, they were describing in detail the conversion of the Gentiles during Paul's first missionary journey to the area there in Galatia. And they were bringing great joy to all the brethren. Well, verse 4, Paul, Barnabas, their delegation finally arrived in Jerusalem. They were received by the church there in Jerusalem and the apostles and the elders, and they reported all that God had done with them. And here it is, verse 5. But some of the sect of the Pharisees who had believed that Jesus was good, but not enough. They believed, the Pharisees who believed, they stood up saying, here it is necessary to circumcise them, the Gentiles, and to direct them to observe the law of Moses. Do you see the "and" they insisted on? Well, how did that turn out? The apostles and elders, verse 6, came together to look into this matter. After there had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to them, brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles would hear the word of the gospel and believe. He's referring to his ministry to Cornelius and his household, a Gentile person who ended up being saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. Peter now reminds the people at this council, this is what had happened through Peter's ministry. Verse 8, Peter says, and God, who knows the heart, testified to them, the Gentiles, giving them the Holy Spirit, just as he also did to us, the Jews, day of Pentecost. And he, God, verse 9, made no distinction between us, Jews, and them, the Gentiles, cleansing their hearts by faith, not faith and works. Now, therefore, Peter said to the council, to the people gathered, why do you put God to the test by placing upon the neck of the disciples a yoke which neither our fathers nor we have been able to bear? But we believe, here it is, verse 11, that we are saved through the grace of the Lord Jesus, in the same way as they, the Gentiles, are also. Bam. First council, the Jerusalem council. The issue was settled very clearly. Both Jews and Gentiles saved the same way, by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, according to the authoritative word of the Bible alone, and all to the glory of God alone. The false teachers, the Judaizers, they were teaching grace and faith and Christ and. Do you see it? Traditions, or scripture and the traditions. Do you see it? And we see here in Acts 15, the issue was clearly settled. There's no grace and. There's no faith and. There's no Christ and. There's no scripture and. Right? And there's no way that God will share his glory and with anybody, right? So we see very clearly salvation is by grace alone, through faith alone in Christ alone, all to the glory of God alone. And we know that because the Bible alone is the authority on how a person is saved. In fact, just hop over to Ephesians chapter 2, a verse that you're very, very familiar with. I should say verses that you're very familiar with. Starting in verse 1, all humans, we come into this world, how? Dead in our trespasses and sins, right? As a result, end of verse 2, we are sons of disobedience. Verse 3, we indulge in the desires of our flesh. End of verse 3, we are by nature damned, children of wrath. We're dead to God. We're disobedient to God. We're deceived or blinded by Satan, and we're damned. What can we do to be saved? Absolutely nothing through our own efforts, because we're dead. But then how's a person saved? Look at verse 4. But God, do you see it? Right there. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our transgressions, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. Hop down to verse 8. For by grace you've been saved through faith. Grace is a gift from God. So is faith, to believe, a gift from God. This is not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, not as a result of your works, so that no one may boast. Hop over to 2 Timothy chapter 1. The Apostle Paul, his last letter that he wrote before he was martyred. And he's writing to a young pastor, Timothy. This is Paul's second letter to Timothy. And look what he says in 2 Timothy 1, starting in verse 8. Paul says to Timothy, don't be ashamed of the testimony of our Lord or of me, his prisoner. Paul was in a Roman dungeon, ready to be beheaded by Nero. He says to Timothy, don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be ashamed of me, even though I'm in this dungeon. He says, but join with me, Timothy, in suffering for the gospel according to the power of God. And here it is. Look at verse 9. God is the one who saved us. God is the one who called us with a holy calling, called us into salvation, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was granted us in Christ Jesus from all eternity. Hop over to Titus chapter 3. Same thing. Starting in verse 3. We were also once foolish ourselves, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to various lusts and pleasures, spending our life in malice and envy, hateful and hating one another. Picture of every person apart from Christ. Well, how are they saved? Verse 4. But when the kindness of God our Savior and his love for mankind appeared, He saved us. Not on the basis of deeds, which we have done in righteousness, but according to his mercy, by the washing of regeneration and renewing by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out upon us richly through Jesus Christ our Savior, so that, being justified by his grace, we would be made heirs according to the hope or certainty of eternal life. Scripture is clear. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone. God's sovereign choosing grace is a gift. The faith to be able to repent of your sins and trust in Christ is a gift. You're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. You're not saved as Rome teaches or as the Judaizers were teaching. You're not saved by grace and merit. You're not saved by faith and works. You're not saved by Christ and the sacramental system. Words truly matter. Wouldn't you agree? And that's why we have to be very, very discerning. And how is it that we can be discerning? Go to Hebrews chapter 5, and I'll conclude here for today. We'll pick up on some more words the next time. Hebrews chapter 5. How is it that we can be discerning? How is it that we can recognize even one word to see if it's actually biblically correct or if it is a deception? How do we recognize? Hebrews 5 verse 14. Solid food, sound, deep doctrine. The Bible. Nothing but the Bible and everything in the Bible. Why? Because of sola scriptura. The Bible alone is our authority. The Bible alone teaches us who God is, teaches us who we are, and teaches us about the Lord Jesus Christ, the Savior. Solid food, deep sound doctrine, is for the mature. In this context, he's not talking about those who are like spiritually mature, somebody who's been in Christ for 40 years. No, no. Here, it comes from the Greek word telos. It means complete. In the book of Hebrews, when we see the word mature, it's a synonym for the saved. So what he's saying here is solid food, sound doctrine, is for the saved. Whether they've been saved 50 years, 15 years, 5 years, or 5 minutes. Solid food is for the saved. Why? Because of practice, constant use, constantly being in the Word. You know what happens? Your senses, your discernment antennas are trained. Trained gymnasia, that's where we get our English word gymnastics or gymnasium. You go to a gym to lift weights, to run, stretch, to get in physical shape. You go into God's holy authoritative word to get in spiritual shape, to be able to discern, to have your senses trained, because words truly matter. Solid food is for the saved who, because of practice, have their senses trained to discern good and evil, good godly teaching and evil lies. Discern, dia Christos, dia, through. You look through and you can tell that which is truth and that which is a lie. And by the way, words truly matter, don't they? Let me give you an illustration. I'll conclude here. If somebody were to, you know, teach something that's this far away from the truth, what would you call this? A lie. What if they taught or teaching something that's only this far away from the truth? What would you still call this? A lie. What if they were teaching this far away from the truth? What would you still call this? A lie. What if they're teaching this far away from the truth? What would you still call this? A lie. And this is where so many people who go to church get tripped up. They don't have the ability to discern that which is good, kalos, godly teaching, versus that which is evil, kakos, a deception. Think of the Reformation. Two words, but those words truly matter, don't they? The Reformers, the Bible alone is our authority. Rome, the Bible, and tradition. The Reformers, you're saved by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone, all for the glory of God alone. Rome, you're saved by grace and merit, you're by faith and works, in Christ and the sacramental system, and God and the church and the people get the glory. Do you see the difference? And we're talking about two words, gang, alone versus and. And you have to have your spiritual antennas trained. That's why solid food, sound doctrine is for the saved, who because of practice have their senses trained to discern diakrisis, to be able to look through and discern between good and evil. So welcome to our series. Today we just took a look at two words, alone and. Think you'll agree? Words truly matter, right? Next time, we will continue to look at some more words. And I pray that God will give all of us the discernment to be able to recognize His truth from Satan's lies. Amen.
This has been Hot Topics with Dr. Andrew Vuksic. The views and opinions were those of the hosts and guests, and not necessarily those of GraceNet Radio or any of its staff, management, or affiliations. You can email Pastor Vuksic directly at PastorAndrew@AOL.com. Join us Sundays at 9 a.m. and 3 p.m. Eastern Time in the USA, or 3 p.m. and 9 p.m. in Croatia for Hot Topics, only on GraceNetRadio.com.